Father, once again, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come together and to study your word. Lord, we just ask now as we begin to read and to study that you would open our eyes. Lord, that something would be said here that the body of Christ would be edified. Lord, we're just thankful that you've given us a book that we can have, that we can put our faith and trust in and know that it is your word. Lord, we pray for our pastor. We just ask that you'd be with him, give him the words we need to hear that would cause those that are lost to see their need for a Savior, and Lord, that would just strengthen those that are saved. We pray for the sick, those that can't be with us, Lord, wherever they may be. We just ask that you'd be with them and bring them back to us, Lord, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to read a verse there, or a couple of verses. In verse 22, 1 Corinthians 15, 22, Paul says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end." Now last week we began to look at some things about the rapture, and we started out by looking at the judgments. The judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment, and how they relate to the way God's going to gather the people to Him for those judgments. And the judgment seat of Christ being for the body of Christ. The great white throne judgment being for some different saints. And those were some of the things we looked at. Now, I want to put up here on the board and just draw the timeline out. So you can see it. You know, I'm a visual learner. I see things, I learn a lot better when I see them. You may not be, but this helps me when I'm up here as well. So, the first time the Lord came to the earth, He came all the way down and was a babe in the manger and grew into a man and lived 30 years and started His ministry. And for 3.5 years He taught, walked on the earth. And then He was crucified. He went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says that He was buried and that He rose again the third day for our justification. So they take Him and they bury Him in a tomb. And on the third day, He arises. Christ the first fruits, Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was the first to rise from the dead and to go into that glorified body. He then ascended. He went up. And after that, His disciples, the 12 apostles, they began to preach and to teach the things that He had taught them during that 3.5 years that He was on the earth. Things about the kingdom. Well, in Acts chapter 9, He comes down, but He does not come down all the way to the earth. He stops short up in the heavens. And He appears to the apostle Paul, who at the time his name is Saul. And on the road to Damascus, Paul is going with letters that are going to enable him to bind those Jews and anybody else that called on the name of the Lord that were believing this message that the 12 were out preaching. Paul's wreaking havoc of that church, and he's going to do it there in Damascus. Well, the Lord comes down, but He stops short here. He appears to the apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to put appear because that's what He does. And the Bible tells us He's brighter than the noonday sun. He gives to the apostle Paul a unique ministry. He gives him the message of grace. And later He goes on and He takes that ministry that's first sent to those that are Israelites, those Jews, and those that blessed Israel when He's in Acts 13. But later on, He more defines that ministry just to the Gentiles. But we call it the dispensation of grace. And, you know, whenever you have it starting, that's fine. But we're in it now. We're in the dispensation of grace now. there's a time coming when the dispensation of grace is going to come to an end. And when it does, the Lord is going to come back down again. And just as He stopped short of coming all the way to the earth, He's going to stop short that time. And He's going to appear once again. And when He does, some things are going to happen to us. Notice in Colossians chapter 3. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, how are you risen with Christ? I'm looking at people that are still alive this morning. You're not dead. I mean, you're here. You're physically in front of me. He's talking about spiritually. We were crucified with Christ here on the cross. Jesus Christ became what we are. God saw Him, or rather saw us in Him on that cross. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you that when He went to that cross, He became what you are. He became you on that cross. And God identified you with Him. As buried with Him, God saw you with as risen with Him, and also seated with Him far above in heavenly places. We are risen with Him, Paul says. If, again, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. He is going to appear. And when He does, you're going to appear with Him, Paul says, in glory. Now, you've heard Brian say it before. Glory is not a place. It's a position, I guess you would call it. It has to do, and we're going to see it here in just a few minutes, it has to do with our bodies. Glory is not somewhere out there in the heavens where people are standing around shouting and walking streets of gold and doing all these things. And I thought about that video Brian was talking about that church where I've seen that. Best stand-up comedy in the world can't touch this. And it is a shame because that's going on in churches and people will associate that with Christianity. God is nowhere near that. It's where those guys are running down the aisle and they're flipping and throwing their coat. Like you said, the guy's up here singing. Guy throws his coat up in the air and it lands on... The guy's singing and the coat lands on the guy while he's singing. And I'm thinking, you know, the guy's pills... Guy dives in the baptistry, like he said, and does a flip in there. And they are hooping and hollering. And if you'll notice, as soon as the music stops, as soon as they stop singing, they all just go walking back. Like, man, does the Spirit hit you and leave you like that? Well, that's not going on out there in the heavens right now, folks. That's not the glory that Paul's talking about. We will appear with Him in glory. It has to do with those bodies, but we'll see that a little later. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul says the Lord is going to descend. He's going to descend with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Those three things will accompany His descent. A shout, voice of the archangel, trump of God, He's going to descend. We're going to go up, and we're going to meet Him if we're still alive. That's the way it'll happen for us. But if some of us in here may not see that day as a walking, living, breathing person on this earth, some of us may go on up to be in His presence and come back with Him and meet Him in the clouds, like the verse says. But nevertheless, the Lord is going to appear, and He's not going to come all the way back to the earth. The same way He appeared to the Apostle Paul here, He's going to appear to the body of Christ here. We will go up. Those that are dead in Christ will come back. And at one time, we will all meet the Lord there in the air. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I should have told you to hold it. I'm sorry. Stick something in 1 Thessalonians 2 because we'll probably be coming back there. But look in 1 Corinthians 15 again. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep in death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Here Paul is describing what's going to happen when we go up. We shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, the last trump. He's coming down, the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of the God. We're going up in a moment, twinkling of an eye, the last trump. We're going to be changed so that we can live a life out there in the heavens with a body that will enable us to survive. You can't survive out in the heavens in the body that you've got now. So He's going to change it so you can. That's what's going to happen. That's what we call the rapture of the church. That is, this got started, a discussion I had got started about the rapture because of that new movie that's coming out, Left Behind. Well, guess what? There will be people left behind here on this earth. When the rapture takes place, there's going to basically be, well, there will at least be two groups of people here. There will be those that have heard the message of grace and have rejected it. Some of you in here, I would hope not, but somebody in here may have heard the gospel and rejected it. I'll do it my way. I don't need that. Left behind. Then there's those that are just out there in the world who don't care anything about God, the Bible, religion, anything. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be part of that group. It's not going to be the way Hollywood portrays it. In fact, let me just give you a little snapshot of it. Look in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Here the Lamb opens the seals, and you have the four horsemen of the apocalypse that start to ride. In verse 2, the first horseman there, he's given a crown and a bow, and he goes out to conquer. Verse 4, there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. There's going to be wars on this earth. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. He's going to affect agriculture. It's going to be famines that are going to take place. Verse 7, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. A fourth part of the earth. Think about that. Close to 7 billion, around 7 billion people. The mathematicians in here, what's a fourth of 7 billion? It's a lot, isn't it? 1 point something, I would say, maybe. 1.8 billion. 1.8 billion people dead. Boom. Imagine trying to deal with that calamity. If you had that many people die, where are you going to put the bodies before disease starts to spread? And it will. Verse 8, and I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, with the beast of the earth. That death is going to be through disease. Verse 9, and when he opened the fifth seal, he sees the souls of them that were slain under the altar. Skip down with me to verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth. And verse 14, the heaven departed of a scroll. You don't want to be here when these things happen, folks. The destruction that's going to happen on this earth is going to be unparalleled to anything this earth has ever seen, perhaps outside of the flood of Noah. Look over in chapter 8. After the seven seals, you have the seven trumpets that are going to blow. Verse 7 of chapter 8. The first angel sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. The third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. What are the cows going to eat? What are the grazing animals going to eat when the grass is gone? They're going to die. Third part of the trees burn up. Verse 8, the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. The third part of the sea became as blood. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. This meteorite, asteroid, whatever it is that's going to hit the earth, is going to hit the oceans, and it's going to cause death. A third part of the sea creatures. Imagine the stinking, rotten fish that are going to be washing up on the shores. These tidal waves that this is going to cause, that's going to just wipe out shipping for a while. It's not going to be a fun place to be. Verse 10. And the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were bitter. What are you going to drink? Verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now think about this for a second. You have extended darkness. A young man gets shot in Missouri, and they burned the town down. The looting, the crime, because of the protests that are happening there. Martial law basically having to be instituted there. The people during this time, folks, are going to be scrounging to survive, to eat, to find somewhere that they can get out of these calamities that are happening. What do you think it's going to be like then? A young man gets shot and people go crazy in a town. What's going to happen when they're trying to feed their families? When they're trying to... It's just, it's a place you're not going to want to be. You don't want to be left behind. You're not going to be an action hero and lead a group of people through it. It's not going to happen. Verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Chapter 9, verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And I would imagine that's some kind of volcanic eruption. When a volcano erupts, that stuff goes up, and it darkens the sun. It puts a blanket over the earth. And it causes things to die. They can't get the sunlight. But this is going to happen. It's going to darken the sun. Verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. That's not a time that you want to be on this earth. Don't be left behind. Salvation, folks, is simple. It is so simple. Man has complicated salvation. Paul said, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ went to that cross and died on that cross for your sins. He paid for your sins there on the cross. He became what you are. He was buried and raised again for your justification. You know what you did in that process? Absolutely nothing. That was done by God to His Son for you. You say, well then what do I have to do to be saved? It's a great question. Man asked Paul that in the book of Acts. He was a jailer. He was about to kill himself. An earthquake happened. Paul and Silas are down there singing. Their chains are... they're broken off of them. This guy thinks everybody's escaped. He's about to kill himself. He gets a light and he comes in there. Paul said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. And he comes down and falls at Paul's feet and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, Paul didn't say, well, you know, there's some things you need to do with your life. You need to repent of the sins that you've done. And you need to... your parents kind of, you know, you need to change your parents. And then perhaps if you'll start coming to our meetings on Sunday and then walk down the aisle and come down here in front of everybody and confess your sins, and then we'll baptize you in water. And then if you live a good life, perhaps then you'll go to heaven. Talked to that Jehovah's Witness that day, and that's basically what he told me that you had to do to be saved. That's not what Paul said. You know what he said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's how simple it is. That is how simple salvation is. Man has complicated it. Man has taken it and made it so hard that people worry and they fret and they stress over something that they have no business worrying about. Jesus Christ did it all. He did it all. Everything. Just accept it. That's all you have to do. Salvation is a gift. And man has been like man does everything. Man has messed it up. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Don't be here when this happens. God did it for you, folks. Just accept it. Now, my time's just about gone. What about the dead? Where are the dead? Tell you what, let me just finish this out here. And we'll stop after that. After, right now, the Lord is here. He's up there in the heavens. He will come back. He will appear. The body of Christ will go up. Then there will be, I'm going to put it down here so that it won't be in my way. I'm just going to put the initials. The judgment seat of Christ. That's where we're going. We're going to receive the things we've done in our flesh, Paul said, whether they're good or whether they're bad. You see, that, and that's what gets people when it comes to salvation. They say, and the conversation I had with that gentleman that day on the front porch, he said, so you're telling me you're saved and yet you can go commit murder and still be saved? I said, well, you're telling me that you're saved and you can go tell a lie and be lost. They want to take the thing in man's eyes that appears to be the worst, murder. But when you read those Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, yeah, it's listed. You know what else is listed? Thou shalt not bear false witness. In God's eyes, sin is sin. It doesn't matter the degree of sin when it comes to salvation. One sin is enough to condemn you. But Jesus paid for all of them, you see. Man can't grasp that. Man thinks, well, I've got to be able to do something. And so they don't understand the nature of the judgment seat of Christ. We are going to pay, in a sense, for some of the things we've done in our lives, the bad things. Paul says we are going to suffer loss. You're going to suffer loss, folks, for the things you've done in your flesh that are not pleasing to God. There ain't a thing you can do to change that. You can't go back into your past and undo the mistakes you've made. You can't. So what do? You press towards the mark. That's what Paul said for the high calling. You keep your eyes on Him. You stay focused on Him. You keep striving to live that life that's pleasing to Him. But you understand you're going to fall. You're going to falter. You're going to make mistakes. And when you do, He's not waiting to just drop kick you off into hell because you've done that. The judgment seat of Christ is where the body of Christ will go, and we will face the fiddler, or however that saying is. You know, pay the piper, whatever. But while that's going on, there's going to be a 7-year period that's called, or we call it the tribulation, the great tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, in which those things that I just read to you there in the book of Revelation are going to happen. But then He will come back and He will set foot on this earth, and there will be the first resurrection. You can read it in Revelation chapter 20. And those people that are martyrs are going to be given crowns, and they're going to rule with Him for 1,000 years. Then you'll have the second resurrection. And this is all right there, folks, in the book of Revelation. You can read it, chapter 20. He said those people are going to be priests, and they're going to reign with Him in the first resurrection. The second resurrection is going to be people from back here, and Lord willing, next week we'll finish this up, that have died here, and some that will die there. There will be a resurrection here, but it will be for the body of Christ, and it will be a rising from the sleep that we're in if we're dead. There will be a resurrection here and a resurrection here. Don't miss this one. That's the key. If you get nothing else out of anything I've said this morning, don't miss this event. Because the consequences of missing that event, you don't want to be here to find out. Okay? Hope you got something out of it. You can take a break.